From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief, Chloe, August 13th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from Motherhood Musings. August updates, what I've read, watched, eaten, and spotted this month. I'm feeling the shift towards spring. Our wood stove has been quiet for a week, the peach tree is pink with blossoms, and the cosmos are back in the garden. The wind is that classic northerly gust that makes the trees lean, and sunrise has settled at 6:15 a.m. It's the kind of subtle change that reminds me why our new book, Asterisk at Home and Every Season Asterisk, is aimed at families in places where the seasons blur. The idea is to tune into these little cues and build rituals that match the rhythm of the year. In the meantime, I've been busy with a few other things. A podcast interview with local legend Chris Hanley, a sudden urge to start a folk school in Byron after reading about the trend in the NY Times, and a handful of book swaps asterisk the Dutch House asterisk and asterisk nesting asterisk have been highlights, while Meg Mason, S asterisk Sophie, standing there asterisk didn't quite click for me. I'm speaking at the Byron Writers Festival on Saturday, August 15th at noon, chatting with Zoe Tuckwell about motherhood, family homes, and teen raising. It's free and open, so if you're nearby, swing by. On the food front, I've been rotating green minestrone, a lemon garlic pesto pasta, roasted quinoa lunches topped with fried eggs and oat, and chia pancakes, great for leftovers. Michael and I finally made it to the cinema together for asterisk the invite asterisk, a witty, tender film that kept us laughing. He's heading to New York City soon to help Quinn settle into university, and then on to Las Vegas for a wedding, so I'm gathering TV and movie suggestions for his trip. If you're up for a live Substack Q&A, I'm planning one for Thursday 27th at 9 a.m. East. Bring any questions you have. Enjoy the rest of your week. Courtney X. Next. Second from apparently. Where in the world is the Wiles family? Mike and I are back on Long Island after Portugal, and the kids are home. Mazzy just finished a business communications program at Syracuse and is juggling a camp counselor job with a publicist internship, while Harlow returned from camp on Friday. We're using the last month of summer for family time, even though some folks question sending kids away. I hosted my first theater group night. About 30 of us met at Miss Nellis, watched The Wild Tight, Anika Selin Dan-styled Titanic retelling, and laughed a lot. It felt great to finally meet many of you in person, and I'll keep the group rolling. Sign-up info is still open. We also caught the Netflix film Don't Say Good Luck in the City. Mazzy and Harlow got pulled onto the red carpet for quick interviews, and we hung out next to Adam Sandler for a solid 20 minutes. The movie's a tear-jerker about a teen whose mom gets cancer, and Sunny Sandler's performance really stood out. On the personal side, I'm back into audiobooks. The peak habit listening while playing a simple phone game helps me stay focused, and loving titles like asterisk The Lion Women of Terran asterisk. Harlow's camp just sold, so next summer the kids won't be able to return, which has been a huge disappointment. That's the update for now. Back to Madeira. Up next, third from Now That We're a Family. Schoolroom Makeover 2026. I'm hearing you've turned the homeschool chaos into a real schoolroom again. After a year of juggling diapers, math show, touts, and a new labeler, printer, and laminator, you've set up a dedicated space to give the younger kids gentle, slow-paced love and the older ones the focus they need. You mentioned the kids' fall wardrobes heading for the barn, the boys teasing your wool sweater, and the whole nesting vibe of the third trimester, so the timing feels right for a clear boundary between play and work. Having a separate room should cut down on the everything in the living room noise, letting you keep the math facts flowing without stepping on diaper duties. It sounds like a solid move for sanity and for the kids' academic rhythm. And then, fourth from Kate Veller, the very Jewish history of the teddy bear. Morris and Rose Mitchum, Russian, Jewish immigrants who ran a penny store in Brooklyn, are the ones who first turned the 1902 Roosevelt bear hunting cartoon into a plush toy. After seeing Clifford Behrman's drawing, Rose sewed a small stuffed bear from scrap fabric, and Morris displayed it with a Teddy's Bear sign. When they sent one to Roosevelt and asked to use his nickname, he gave his blessing, and the little bear sold out, launching the Mitchum's Ideal Novelty and Toy Company. A German firm, Stafe, also produced a plush bear around the same time and now claims the invention, but their version didn't carry the Teddy name until a few years later. The Mitchum story, immigrants turning a simple idea into a national sensation, remains the core of the American teddy bear myth. Both Morris and Rose were active in Jewish charitable groups, and after they passed in the late 1930s, their legacy was remembered as much for that philanthropy as for the cuddly toy that still comforts children today. Next, fifth from Family Troubles. Hugh and a replay. So it seems there was a Q&A and a session that just took place. I couldn't find any information on what was specifically discussed during the Q&A, but the host Joshua Coleman mentions that there's a replay available. If you're interested in hearing what was said, you can find the replay by following the link he provided. That's about all I've got on this one. It seems like a pretty straightforward update. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.